Graphic Audio presents an original story of James Axler's Deathlands. Deathlands number 138, Who Lives and Who Dies.
Nathan? Who are you?
I'm Dean, Ryan Cotter's son.
Uncle Ryan?
It was midday, but the cell was dark without a window, since the dungeon cells were entirely subterranean. The only light was cast by the electric lantern the guard had placed on an empty sconce on the wall across from the cell. There were such sconces all along the corridor, but none of them held lit torches or candles at the moment. The Sekhmen that had escorted Dean here carried heavy flashlights. Dean could see in the dim light that Nathan was young for a baron. He was a tall, slender man with light brown hair and beard, and dressed in the clothes of a working man, not the usual finery of a baron. He had several unbandaged battle wounds and looked pretty roughed up. He stood up from a worn wooden bench that was the only furniture in the dungeon cell. The only amenities were a slop bucket in the shadowy corner and a drain in the middle of the floor. Nathan noted his young visitor's curly black hair, lean, muscular build, and steely blue eyes. Dean's cousin smiled wanly.
Yeah, I can see the resemblance now. Ryan never mentioned he had a son. But why are you here?
Seemed like a good idea at the time. Wanted to connect with family, I guess.
Your timing could have been better. Is Ryan still alive? His woman, Christy? Not your mother, I'm guessing, by your age.
No. I don't think my dad knew about me the last time you saw him. Long story. As far as I know, they're all okay. I haven't seen them for a while. We got separated.
Dean looked back through the cell bars at the stone-faced armed Sekhmen standing watch after Dean's escort had departed. The man had Dean's BAR rifle slung over his shoulder and the Browning high power tucked in his waistband. Dean didn't know what happened to the bowie knife he'd brought with him, or the hidden blade they'd discovered strapped to his calf inside the pants leg.
You want to tell me what's going on in Front Royal? The assholes that brought me here were pretty tight-lipped.
The Ville fell 2 days ago, in the middle of the night, quick and ugly. Our defenses were taken completely by surprise. The attack came from within. Bastards massacred a lot of good men and women.
A coup? You had traitors in your midst?
That's the thing. None of these cold hearts are from Front Royal. None that I've seen.
I get the impression this wasn't just a power grab. What's with the wags I saw outside?
They brought in a shitload of equipment after we surrendered. Tech I've never seen before. They've been working on something, building something.
Scavenged pre-dark stuff?
I'd have said so, except what little I saw looked shiny and new. And their leader was Tech himself.
Dean frowned.
What do you mean?
He was made of metal. Like from an old vid. What's the word?
You mean a robot?
That's it. He's a fucking robot.
Dean's frown remained fixed. He'd seen a vast array of strangeness in his travels with his father, both organic and man-made, and the closest thing Dean knew of to what Nathan was talking about would be the Sek Hunter droids the companions had encountered in several redoubts. But those were automatons, goofy-looking, red-crystal-eyed, cable-armed things of single-minded predatory focus, and they didn't much resemble a man. Dean couldn't imagine any of those leading an army.
This robot talked and walked, gave orders, was clearly in charge?
Oh, yeah. He had an agenda. He said he was the savior of the world.
Heard that before. Don't take this wrong, but how come you're not dead? If he was taking over, I mean.
He has some twisted plan for me. He knew who I was, called me by name. They took some of my blood as a sample, one of his lackeys called it.
A sample? This savior give you his own name?
He calls himself Magus.
Dean knew Magus all right, although he had only crossed paths with him tangentially years earlier, when the companions had come across that damned roadshow. Gert Wolfram's so-called world-famous carny had been a cruel circus of freaks, monstrosities, and other perverse forms of entertainment. Magus had been the one pulling the strings on that nasty operation. Dean was just a kid back then, and wasn't with the companions when they later faced him again. Every time the companions crossed paths with a man whom some spoke of as the Warlock, there was torture and bloody mayhem. And eventually, the cybernetic bastard would escape alive, or the companions would escape from him. It seemed that with every encounter, more and more of Magus' flesh and bone had been replaced by grotesque, cobbled-together, life-sustaining prosthetics.
Hot fucking pipe.
Indeed.
Dean spun around toward the cell bars.
Hot fucking pipe.
Despite its distortion, Dean recognized the sneering tone of the metallic voice, even after these more than 4 years, but that was all. This sleek, tall, and smoothly rendered figure bore no resemblance to the wheezing, putrefying hybrid of flesh and machine he'd seen as a boy.
My, how you've grown, young Carter. This is turning into quite the family reunion. More than you know.
Is there anything human of you left?
There is, but nothing you would recognize as such. In you, however, the Carter bloodline is manifestly evident.
The droid turned to the guard.
Open it.
Dean had a stab of regret that he hadn't tried to make a run for it earlier, then quickly dismissed it. He knew the odds of his surviving whatever this was had grown much worse for him now, but Dean was no stranger to bad odds, and his running away wouldn't have helped Nathan or Front Royal. There wasn't much Dean could do now, but things could change if he stayed alive long enough.
Just what the fuck is your story, anyway? How did you get like this?
I think that's a tale too long in the telling, but thanks for asking. Perhaps another time.
You're building something here. Saving the world?
This is true. Not only this world, but all its neighbors.
Dean looked to Nathan, who shook his head with equal perplexity. Nathan seemed astonished at the familiar conversational tone Dean had struck with the creature.
At one point, there was some small hope that a genetic contribution from your kin here might resolve a more personal issue, but alas, he has been found wanting in that regard. Such an unanticipated treat that you have arrived, young Carter, to provide us with yet another opportunity.
What are you talking about?
Not to worry, Nathan. You're still an ideal candidate for fulfilling the primary intent of my mission.
The Megastroid's fist tightened on the chest of Nathan's shirt, pulling him irresistibly forward.
Come with me.
Hold on!
Wait your turn, Dean Carter.
Dean looked up woozily from the cold stone floor. His barely focusing gaze met Nathan's.
Tabitha!
What?
His cousin's look of terror was an image that would haunt Dean for some time after.
Stay, boy. Your cousin and I require a little private time.